Are you facing some challenges right now and you're not sure where to turn? Let Unity Online Radio host and women's empowerment coach, Cynthia Ocelli, help. Cynthia has helped thousands of women find clarity and get on the path to realizing their greatest vision. Right now, for a limited time, Cynthia is offering some free gifts at CynthiaOcelli.com. Just click on free guidance and get free meditations and guides to help you connect with your power and thrive.
All are welcome. We're glad you found us. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Empower yourself and get inspired to build the life of your dreams. Welcome to Everyday Peace with Dr. Drayvon James.
Welcome to Everyday Peace with Dr. Drayvon James. I am super excited to have you join us today while we explore the concept of living a life of peace every day. Peace, defined as wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, totality. Just take a quick moment and inhale and exhale slowly on that definition. Can you even imagine living your life of peace every day? Well, I'm here to tell you that, yes, peace is possible every day. Yes, you deserve peace every day. And, yes, you can have peace every day. We work together on this show to bring you the topics and the guests to partner with you as you create your life of peace every day. And today is no exception. We have a fabulous guest for you today. And I know that we are still, you know, in this pandemic mindset. You all know that I have been a practicing pharmacist for 30 years. I run an inpatient hospital pharmacy, and it is busy, and there is a lot of stress. And that's just my work environment, right, which carries, you know, gone are the days of an 8-hour workday. Who does that anymore? Whew, I think 8 hours sometimes is a nice part-time job, especially when you're in healthcare. But it can be crazy. But it can be crazy for all of us, those of us who are at home caring for family members, those of us who are working outside of healthcare. If we're breathing and we're walking on planet Earth today, we know that there is no shortage of stress, and we deal with that a lot on this show because stress is part of the journey. Part of the journey. And as we take this lovely journey that we're so privileged to have access to, we've got to learn how to handle stress so that it doesn't handle us, if you know what I mean. So we have a fabulous guest on today, and we're going to talk about how to mitigate the stress in our life so we don't burn out and just get some good tools that we can take into our everyday life, even if you don't work in healthcare. Because guess what? These tools work for everybody because I know, I hear you from you guys. I get the emails. I coach you all. I know that we're all dealing with stress in our lives. So please, you want to stay tuned for the entire show. You want to call in because we have a medical doctor joining us today. So we're going to get the goods on how to live our best life in a healthy perspective. Before we get to our guests, I want to remind you that we're still doing some giveaways. Yes, we are. We're having a giveaway. There is a free online course being offered to you at the Institute for Leadership and Lifelong Learning. It's a wonderful online university, and they have all kinds of fabulous courses. Please check them out. I, Dr. Drayvon James, teach a course on there called the 2020 Clarity, so you could check that out, but there are lots of other courses on there as well. And I'm still giving away the 5 steps to discovering your passion now, today. And you can get that just by emailing me at Drayvon, D-R-A-V-O-N, James, DrayvonJames@gmail.com. So please take advantage of those fabulous gifts for you being an everyday peacemaker. So our guest today is Dr. Greg Hammer, M.D. He is a pediatric intensive care physician, pediatric anesthesiology, and professor at Stanford University Medical Center, a member of the Stanford WellMD Initiative and the Wellness Committee of the American Society of Anesthesiologists. Dr. Hammer is currently the chair of the Physician Wellness Task Force for the California Society of Anesthesiologists. He has been a visiting professor and lecturer on wellness at institutions worldwide and teaches GAIN, G-A-I-N, GAIN, to medical students, residents, and fellows at Stanford. Welcome to the Everyday Peace Show, Dr. Hammer. So happy to have you.
Very lovely to be with you, Drayvon. I have to say that in addition to being an intensivist and anesthesiologist for children, particularly having heart surgery, I have a laboratory and I do pharmacology research, and the pharmacists are my best friends. So I have a lot of respect for what you do, both on the air, but also in your other profession. And I want to say also that I just think the message of unity and peace is so resonant and so vital. So I feel like we're connected on in a couple of different ways.
We are indeed. And I got to just tell you, I'm so honored to have you on the show because I am personally affected by suicide and a colleague in my 30-year, two colleagues in suicide from burnout and stress. And so I'm delighted to talk with you. The work that you do is amazing. And I don't want our guests to think that this is just for people who work in healthcare, because the majority of my coaching clients do not work in healthcare. And I can tell you, I feel the intensity of the stress that you're carrying from the past that you know, you're so depressed over all that happened in your past. You're so anxious for everything that's happened, you know, that you believe could happen in your future. And it's great when we get a member of the medical profession, a medical doctor who has left brain, right brain connectivity, right? So sometimes I hear, even in my own world as a pharmacist, woo-woo, you know, I'm not interested in meditation, although wellness is really picking up in the healthcare profession. But I do hear that, you know, oh, I'm not interested in that, you know, if I can't find something that really connects it to what we respect as scientific studies, then they're not interested. But it's so great that you've embraced this and are really taking it to another level. So I have a huge respect for what you do, and I'm honored to have you on the show. So before we get into the GAIN principles and the pillars of GAIN, which are amazing, tell our audience a little about how does this world-renowned physician make time for wellness and get involved in this thought process?
That's a good question. I think that a lot of people think that, for example, meditation or doing yoga or doing whatever else brings them peace and unity in their lives is time-consuming, and they don't have time for it. I think that, and this is a whole discussion we could get into at a later time, but I think that many people don't believe that they deserve to be happy, and that's why they just can't make time for those things that they know and feel and in their direct experience understand that these are the things that make them feel good. You know, we have a great interaction with another person because we're being compassionate or we're being forgiving or we're being grateful. And we get a little hit of dopamine and we feel better, yet why don't we move in that direction all the time? Why don't we keep turning toward those things that make us happy and make us feel present? I think, unfortunately, a lot of us think we don't really deserve to be happy. But the fact is that, you know, you mentioned meditation, so let's just consider that for a moment. People think, well, I don't have 30 minutes to sit down and meditate, and so they don't do it. Or people have tried and failed because they've been told that they have to sit for 20 or 30 minutes, possibly in an uncomfortable position, probably not scratching an itch they might have, in other words, don't move around, and have no thoughts going through your head. And that's just not realistic. That's not something that even experienced meditators can often do. So one of the principles of my practice and what I teach and my book is to take small bites, but do a regular practice. In other words, let's just consider meditation. So you mentioned GAIN, and I teach the GAIN meditation, which is an acronym for gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment. And I started out as a 3-minute meditation that I advocate doing every morning. Nobody can tell me, not even my busy trainees who are medical students and residents and fellows in the intensive care unit or in the operating room, they don't have 3 minutes every morning. So I get them to use their intention, use their purposefulness the night before, set their alarm 3 minutes earlier than they would have otherwise. So if they would have gotten up at 6:15, set your alarm for 6:12. Get up, open the shades. If there's sun out yet, terrific. If not, do your thing, do your hygiene, and then find a comfortable, quiet place to sit. And it starts with the breath, as does, you know, do many kinds of meditation and prayer, and, you know, just slowing the breath down, breathing in through the nose for a count of three and holding for a count of two, and then just effortlessly exhaling to a count of four. And get into that rhythm. And then just sequentially go through the gratitude that we feel and the acceptance, opening our heart to pain and suffering, and using our intention, our purposefulness. And we can rewire our brains. We can talk about our negativity bias and how we can rewire our brains to be much more positive. And then finally, non-judgment. And then it goes back to the breath, and we slowly open our eyes, and 3 or 4 minutes have passed, and we're ready to go out into the world. And so it's not necessarily a time-consuming process, and the game practice can be engaged throughout the day while we're walking down the hall, while we're driving our car. So it's baby steps, daily practice, not very time-consuming.
I love what you just said. First of all, I want our listeners to key into the fact that we all have 3 minutes. We have 3 minutes in the day. And if you're listening to me then, and you don't believe you have 3 minutes, and I can raise my hand on that because there were points in my life where I really did not honor myself between being a full-time mom and of little people and a wife and a busy career and really working to get my everyday peace up off the ground, that I really, you could ask me, Drayvon, do you have 3 minutes? I was like, no, really not. What is it? Quickly, what is it? You know, that's how I would be with myself, but so given with everyone else. So then you have to go and ask yourself. I love what you said. So many of us don't believe that we deserve to be happy, right? And I have this on my mirror posted that says, I am worthy, right? So that every day, reminding yourself, if you're that person who is so, and a lot of people in healthcare are this way, they're so externally focused on their good in 1 second is what they did for somebody else, how quickly I responded to the code, what happened here, and then you get these little doses, but they're short-lived, right? And you're, I did this, but then there's another emergency on the back end, and you fall short on that one, so then you spend your whole day fixated on that thing that you fell short on, instead of living in this space where I just deserve to be happy, no matter what is going on externally. So I really want our listeners to key into that, because you deserve to be happy. That makes a lot of people nervous. Maybe
it
they
does,
think that they're more responsible.
Well, you know, we have a negativity bias. I think we should acknowledge that. We tend to remember those things in our lives that are negative, and that pertains to our self-reflection as well. We remember the things that went wrong in our day. We remember the things that we're embarrassed about or that we have regret over. And we can change this, though. And so, you know, if you'd like, we can go through the GAIN principles one by one, but
We are definitely going to do that.
We can use our purposefulness to rewire our brains to overcome this negativity bias. And it's not difficult, and it's not time-consuming. It just has to be baby steps, daily practice. And we can do it. We deserve it. And it's all about being present, and that's really what mindfulness is all about. And if you are really in the present moment, you are happy. If you think about the things that make you unhappy or the times during which you are unhappy, it's always because your mind is stuck in the past or the future. And I would say we can talk about stress as well. You can think of stress as adaptive under some circumstances and maladaptive under other circumstances. You can say the same thing about present. It's adaptive to think about the past under some circumstances. We want to learn from our mistakes, so that requires reflection on the past. We want to savor our wonderful memory. So much of what we experience as positive becomes a wonderful memory that we have forever. So we want to embrace those memories, and that's in the past. However, we tend to obsess on the past in ways that represent regret, remorse, shame, embarrassment. And because of our negativity bias, we really think about those things a lot more than the adaptive elements of the past. And the same applies to the future. It's adaptive to plan in order to put bread on the table and plan for retirement or help plan for your children's education. And it's also great to look forward to wonderful times with family and friends and traveling and so on. But again, we tend to get stuck on elements of the future that are maladaptive. And that would include fear. You know, we're afraid of what might happen. We catastrophize. We tend to think of the worst case scenario. And so, again, you know, let's think about what's adaptive and what's maladaptive, and let's take small bites every day, be mindful of these things, and figure out ways we can be more present. And I'm sure that many of your listeners, and probably you, are familiar with Jon Kabat-Zinn's teaching on mindfulness, since he was really the founder of what we call mindfulness today. Mindfulness can be defined and was defined by Jon Kabat-Zinn as awareness that arises through paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. And there are three of the elements of Jain in one beautiful sentence. Paying attention with intention, that is, on purpose, in the present moment without judgment. And that's the key to being present. And when we are present, we're happy. If we think about the happiest times, it's when we maybe we're with our partner and our lover and we are intimate and we lose a sense of separation through that intimacy, however briefly. Or we're listening to a wonderful piece of classical music and we just get lost in it and time disappears. And we're completely present, even though the music was composed 200 years ago. So these are times when we're happy, when we're connected to a piece of art, when we're hiking in the forest. We our feelings of and thoughts of the past and future just sort of drop off. And we're just totally in the present moment, captivated by the shape of a tree or the sight of a deer. And we let those feelings of remorse and fear fall away, and we're totally present. And that's when we're happy.
That was so beautifully said, because it is also, I know that Eckhart Tolle, in his book, I remember years ago reading, The Power of Now, says, what in this moment is wrong? In this moment right here, it's the next moment that scares me, or the previous moment that I have remorse and regret for. But in this moment right here, we could use all of our five senses, which is something that I teach my clients, is use all of your five senses to stay present in this moment as much as you possibly can, to stay in this moment, because this is your happy place. This is also your most powerful place is in the present moment, and just realizing that we do have this negativity bias. There is something that's in this mind of ours, this egoic mind, that says, that replays the same thoughts over and over again. I remember when I was in college 18 years ago, I used to make this joke that, you know, I was sitting here just watching what my mind was thinking about, and I would joke with my friends that, oh, I'm just going to wash my brain, because my mind plays it's like on a loop, you know. It just keeps playing these same fears and anxieties and over again. And as an adult, if we don't really tame our mind, I know your work proves and teaches that we can. We do have dominion over our mind. Imagine that, that we have dominion over this, that we can retrain ourselves. So we're going to get into all of this today. So I really want our listeners, maybe grab a pen and a piece of paper to jot down some notes, because you're going to get some really useful things with the GAIN principle that you can use immediately. How great is that? So I want to jump backwards just a little bit and talk about your work really centers, you teach other physicians and healthcare providers, and I love that because there is a romanticized view sometimes of what happens behind the scenes, if you will, in healthcare, and I think for many of us, it's anything but romantic. It can be extremely stressful. What are some of the stresses that you see in healthcare that are leading to this? I mentioned I had two colleagues over my 30-year career who committed suicide, and just in talking to people, you can tell when they're getting to the burnout. If you've worked with them for a number of years, you can see that. Oh, wow. The personality is changing, the stress is getting to them. What are some of the stresses that get people to this point of burnout in healthcare?
Great question, Jervon. I've actually lost several colleagues who were physicians and one who was a pharmacist, and so lost all of them by so many people. But, you know, we're dealing with life and death. And, you know, when we make a mistake, or we think we've made a mistake, and none of us are perfect, it just generates a lot of self-criticism, and it also generates fear that we're going to make another mistake or make a worse mistake. So, you know, in a way, we kind of live in a fearful place to some degree, and I know that in your practice as well, you know, the pharmacist is subserving such a key role in preparing intravenous nutrition and preparing intravenous medications, and you know, there are going to be drug errors. The incidence of medical errors is, no matter how focused we are and what kind of computerized mechanisms we have to prevent them, medical errors occur. And that's just human failure, if you will. You know, medical mistakes happen, and they happen at about the same rate in all first world countries. So, you know, we may have 400,000 medical errors or more that are reportable each year in the United States, and about 100,000 excess deaths related to medical mistakes. So, but that's not the only reason that we're stressed out. I mean, I think that there's enough stress in life to go around that don't necessarily have career specificity, if you will. So, for example, in the pandemic, of course we're stressed out. We have so much uncertainty. Is the incidence going to continue to rise the way it is? Are the fatalities going to continue to rise? When can I go back to work? When do I have to stop doffing my clothes and jump in the shower when I come home from work? And when am I going to be able to go out with my friends and my kids' friends and so on and their families? So there's a lot of uncertainty, and that breeds fear and stress. And I mentioned kind of thinking about stress as being adaptive versus maladaptive. And acute stress, as you well know, may be adaptive. So when we're acutely stressed, like let's say we are at a swimming pool and our three-year-old suddenly falls into the pool, there's a stress response that happens, and that includes a sudden rise in the amount of adrenaline or epinephrine in our bodies and a spike in the cortisol in our bloodstream as well. It's a corticosteroid. And the adrenaline and the cortisol help us activate a stress response, so we can quickly run to the pool and pull that toddler out of the pool. Or in some cases, people have reported feats of great strength, lifting a heavy object off a child, a television set or what have you that's fallen from a shelf. That kind of acute stress response is adaptive. It helps us run fast and get away from a predator and perform those other feats. But when stress goes on for days or weeks or months or even longer, it's maladaptive. That chronic increase in adrenaline in our bodies, that chronic increase in cortisol in our bloodstream, the diminution in various hormones in our body, these things cause us to have high blood pressure, our heart rate goes up, our blood pressure goes up. It's a strain on our heart. our heart needs more oxygen, and we're stressing our heart. The cortisol and other hormonal changes cause our blood sugar to go up, so we may develop type 2 diabetes. And those other hormonal changes may prevent us from sleeping well, in addition to the adrenaline and the cortisol, which interferes with our sort of the phases of our sleep. So, and these things are kind of self-perpetuating. So this is the maladaptive nature of chronic stress. And so, as you intimated, we need to kind of turn toward that and ask ourselves how we can interrupt this process. And again, it's our negativity bias that tends to cause obsession with things that maybe in the future that may never happen, you know, the way we catastrophize. This causes stress. And so if we bring it back to the present moment, which is really the only moment that we ever truly experience, the past and the future are thoughts. Thoughts come and go. But the present moment is here. And if we bring ourselves back to the present, we diminish this fear and this stress response. And so I think that's one of the keys. May seem a bit abstract to some people, but I think that's one of the most important elements in reducing the amount of stress that we feel.
Oh, I think so too. And this long-term stress, if for no other reason, if you're a person who is, you know, kind of thinking, well, you know, meditation is woo-woo and all of this, and, you know, it's not something that you're into, I would say look at the studies that are showing that high blood pressure, we talked about increased insomnia. I see a lot of medication for that when I was had practice, hands-on practice, increase of blood sugars. Imagine you not needing that medication if you could better handle your stress. We will be back after these messages. We're talking with Dr. Hammer, and we're going to come back and talk about GAIN and how you can use that in your life today.
Discover the power within. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Create and build the life of your dreams. Welcome back to Everyday Peace with Dr. Drayvon James.
Welcome back with our special guest, Dr. Hammer, MD. And I didn't mention this in the beginning of the show, my mistake. Dr. Hammer is the author of some amazing books, the first of which we're talking about today is Gain Without Pain, the Happiness Handbook for Healthcare Professionals. So, you know that healthcare professionals are not the only people to have stress in their lives. I don't know a person who does not have stress in their life. And Dr. Hammer wrote another book, Gain Without Pain, Your Happiness Handbook. So for everybody, wherever you are, if you don't have any stress in your life, please call in, tell us how you're doing that, and call a friend, get them on this show so they can call in and talk to an MD today to figure out how to utilize the GAIN principles, which we're going to go over just after we take our caller, because I want you to have to live your absolute best life. And you do too. Your family does, your friends do, your coworkers do, because we're a lot nicer when we have less stress and when we know how to deal with our stress. So let's pick up our caller today. And hello, you're on the air with Dr. Hammer. How are you?
Hello, Dr. James. Another great show as usual. Dr. Hammer, this is the question I have. So at my job, we work remotely and do a lot of Zoom calls. And because of the pandemic, we don't get out as much as we normally do. So on the calls, we conduct business. But what inevitably happens is that conversation starts to garner around the pandemic and then all the other stuff that's going on. So what happens is that I've noticed on the call that some people are not stressed initially, but as we have the conversations, you can tell people are getting stressed. And so my question is, how do those of us who aren't necessarily stressed out about what's going on, taking it very seriously, but just sort of just going day by day, but then you're in a work call and the conversations become, you start to feel stressed, based on the conversation, but you didn't feel stressed beforehand. So how do you navigate that in a work situation?
That's a great question. I think even pandemic aside, the same phenomenon happens in all sorts of situations, at work, under social circumstances, et cetera. All it takes is that one person who's obviously very stressed out to kind of take over the conversation, and pretty soon everybody's a bit stressed out. But specifically with pandemic, I think we're all feeling compassion for one another because it is a very difficult time, and people have certain circumstances that make it even more stressful, like maybe a child with ADHD who they're trying to have do schooling at home and so on. So many factors with respect to the pandemic. So I would say that whether it's pandemic related or not, when we're in the company of others who are stressed, all we can do is go back to our own center, go back to this moment. And what I do in that case is I feel myself starting to get that bump in adrenaline and cortisol, my heart rate's going a little bit up, whether it's because I'm annoyed or because I'm feeling that shared stress, I go back to the breath. So I in the book I describe the gain meditation, and basically I just go back to that slow breath with a slow, purposeful inhalation through the nose to a count of three, a pause to the count of two, and then an effortless, slow exhalation through the nose or mouth to a count of four. You know, I think when we get stressed out or when we're experiencing someone else's stress, we forget to breathe. We kind of get lost in just that vibration and that chaos that's rampant in that moment. And go back to the breath. And if you want to kind of turn the volume down on that person, you can go through your own thought process along with your breath about how grateful you are that you don't have the same level of stress that other person has, how accepting of the other person you are, and you understand that they're having pain and suffering, and that's applicable to so many people in the world, and you can feel your heart opening and accepting that pain and suffering. Go to your intention, the I, and purposefully feel compassion for the other person, and again, go to your own presence. And then non-judgment. So we could do G-A-I-N with the breath and non-judgment. Don't judge the other person. You know, that's not bad or good, what they're experiencing and what they're communicating. Just accept it as it is. Just accepting the world exactly as it is without judgment. So that's my answer is go to the breath, go through your own gain process. It could take 15 seconds or 30 seconds. And that will remind you of your gratitude for your own state of mind, your acceptance of the adversity others are not having such a great success dealing with, your intention to be focused on the present moment in a positive way, and your non-judgment of the world around you, including that other person who's sort of domineering the conversation. And then go back to the breath. And I think when you do that, you'll find that you can turn the volume down a little bit on that other person, but still be present with them. And, you know, again, I think what you're describing is a common situation, whether it's related to the pandemic or not. It might be, you know, sitting at the Thanksgiving table with Uncle Charlie, who's drinking too much and starting to get a bit nasty or what have you. You know, it's such a common situation where we share the room or share the conversation with others who are really not on the same page.
Okay. Great. That was a great answer. Thank you so much.
And
thank you
for calling in and being an everyday peacemaker. Enjoy your evening. Stay tuned for the rest of the show because you'll want to get these GAIN principles that Dr. Hammer is going to give us now. Now, you're welcome. I just want to just recap that breath because I know I have listeners who will email me and say, what was the breath formula again? So that was an inhale through the nose to the count of three, a hold for two, and a gentle exhale to the count of four. And if you're listening, why don't you just go ahead and practice that while you're listening to the show so that you are participating already in the consistency in small bites, right? You're retraining yourself. Hey, while I'm sitting here, let me do this breath exercise. So that's the inhale to the count of three, hold to two, and then gentle exhale to the count of four. So while you're doing that, we're going to talk about these pillars, the GAIN pillars, and walk us through what the GAIN stands for and how we can execute all of these pillars.
Sure. Well, I just want to say, Trevon, that, back to the breath just for a moment to kind of close the loop on that. The breath is always accessible to us. And it's just, yes. It's miraculous that we're always breathing, even when we're not thinking about it. But we do tend to kind of subdue our breath or almost hold our breath when we're anxious. And so going back to that, it's always right there for us. It's always available. It's always there in the present moment. And so when you, however you want to do your breathing exercises, and I think the 3-2-4 kind of slow count is wonderful, because when we slow our breath, and you can appreciate this from your pharmacy background, you're actually kind of stimulating the vagus nerve, which tends Absolutely. To slow your heart rate also. So when your breath slows down, your heart rate slows down, your blood pressure goes down. And this has really positive effects on the chemistry in our body and on the pharmacology of our body, if you will. The, you know, adrenaline is reduced and so on. So that's such a simple thing to do. It's just when somebody is annoying you, for example, just go to your breath first. And then you can go through the GAIN principles too. But, you know, even just going back to the breath and slowing it down and being centered on that breath is remarkably therapeutic. But you asked about the GAIN principles, so we can go through those. And GAIN stands for gratitude, acceptance, intention, and non-judgment. So, you know, I think it might be useful if I have, can I take 3 minutes and just sort of walk us through a quick meditation?
I would love that. I'm sure our listeners would love that as well.
Okay. So, I mean, I think I can, communicate the GAIN principles as well that way as in any other way. So I'm just going to, I've got the timer going here, and I'm going to try to stick to 3 minutes. So I would like your listeners just to close their eyes. I can't see you, so there's no cheating. And just go to the breath. Feel that slow inhalation through the nose. 1, 2, 3. Pause to a count of 1, 2. And then just slowly release the breath. To a count of 1, 2, 3, 4. So in to a count of 3, pause for a count of 2, and just slowly, effortlessly let your chest recoil to a count of 4. And noticing a little bit of sweetness in the air during the inspiration, during the inhalation. Just a vague sense of some kind of floral, beautiful essence that we're breathing in. It might just be from each other's company right now. And as we focus on the breath, we notice how grateful we are. And even with all of the stress associated with the pandemic, things were so much worse 100 years ago with the great influenza pandemic, so much more death and misery. We're so fortunate, for example, to have the technology that we do, to have the internet, to be able to be with each other as we are sharing each other's company right now. Even if we're physically isolated in many regards, we're not socially isolated. We're gaining from each other's presence right at this very moment. We can be grateful for the health that we have, for the safe place we have to live here in the United States compared to many other countries where they're so much less fortunate. But we're so grateful for this moment and all of the wonders that it brings with it. And we notice our acceptance. We know that there's pain and suffering in the world, that we ourselves are not exempt, that we and may have physical maladies, that we suffer from the loss of loved ones, as Dr. James was mentioning. We know we suffer. We know the world suffers. We suffer from a history of slavery, of lovely people being torn from their cultures and shipped to places far away and enslaved and mistreated. We have suffering from the ravaging of the environment. Let's just sit as we breathe and open our hearts, feel our hearts actually physically opening, and let this pain and suffering in. Just allow it to merge with us closer and closer until it's merged with us. This may be a little uncomfortable at first, but after a few exercises, a few days, taking these small steps, it becomes quite comfortable, and we realize things are not as bad as we sometimes fear. So we just fill ourselves with acceptance with an open heart. Noticing our intention, noticing that with our purposefulness, we can use our minds to become more positive in our thinking. Let's focus on what we have instead of what we don't have. When our meditation is over, we're going to walk through our home and notice all the beautiful art we have on the walls and notice the beautiful connection we have with each other right in this moment. We can focus on that. We can focus on all the wonders in our lives instead of what we think we're lacking and what we don't have. And noticing our non-judgment, we can use our mind with intention to be non-judgmental. The world does not have to be bad or good. It simply is. And the people in it are not bad and they're not good. They simply are who they are, what they are in this moment, and that applies to ourselves also. We don't have to judge ourselves. We simply are who we are, and we're much more alike than unlike, and we can accept this without judgment at all. And we go back to the breath, slowly inspiring, inhaling to a count of three and pausing to a count of two. Let the breath out slowly to a count of four. And repeat this. Now we're ready to just very gradually, slowly open our eyes. And feel this present moment that we're all sharing. All of you out there listening and Dr. James and myself, we all share this present moment. And it's a really wondrous, magical, happy moment. But thank you all for your attention.
Thank you for that. That was beautiful. And I got a couple questions because I'm sure my listeners know, I talk the topic all week before it starts to anybody who'll listen to me, grocery store, at work, wherever I am, I talk about the topic and the guest and ask questions. And one of the things that people really were struggling with when I talked about gain was the meaning of an intention. And I know we only have a few minutes left, but I would love if you could give us a quick example of what you mean when you set an intention. And the non-judgment really got people. They just kind of like, what do you mean, don't judge? So
I can tell you, I'm sorry to interrupt. Intention, I'm going to give you a good example of how we can use our mind to be purposeful or intentional and rewire the way we think from a negativity bias to a positivity bias. And that refers to a program that people can go online and learn about from Duke University called Three Good Things. And they took many, many people who enrolled online in the program, and those people simply commit to every night before they go to sleep, they think of three good things that happened to them that day. So I can tell you tonight, I will think of, well, first of all, on Stanford campus where my home is, it's a beautiful day here. It's dry. It's in the mid-70s. It's just, I'm so grateful for that. I'm going to remember this conversation that you and I and your listeners have had with just extreme gratitude, another positive, wonderful thing that happened today. And I'm going to go for a bike ride after this, and I'm going to remember that with such fondness. And so those are three things that are going to happen to me today or have happened. And when I go to bed tonight, I will be thinking of those three things. And simply by doing that, the researchers at Duke showed with serial surveys that were administered related to quality of life that people sleep better and they're happier. Simply by thinking of three good things before they go to sleep at night. It doesn't take any time at all. You can do it while you're turning the bed down. So that's an example of being intentional, of using our mind's purposefulness to be positive. Because usually when we go to bed at night, we take stock of our day and we think of all the things that didn't go as we had planned in a negative way. So using our intention, we can rewire our brains and move from this negativity bias to a more positive way of being. And I'll quickly say that judgment is something that our minds are always doing. We're constantly, every time we see another person, we're thinking, well, you know, that person is better looking than I am, or I'm smarter than that person, or, you know, the weather is too humid, or this is too big, that's too small. We're constantly making judgments, and we don't need to do this. We can just accept the world exactly the way it is without judgment. It doesn't have to be good or bad. It just is. And that may sound kind of abstract, but if you think about it, you know, the next time you're driving your car and somebody changes lanes without using their turn signal and you start to get annoyed, just go to your non-judgment and say, you know what, that's just human behavior. It is what it is. I don't have to call that good or bad. I don't have to get annoyed. And it's a really a magical thing, non-judgment. And when you start to think that way a little bit more, baby steps, daily practice, just go through the gain. When you're done with your meditation, your eyes are open, you can pick one element at first. Okay, today I'm going to be non-judgmental of the first driver that started to annoy me. And you'll be surprised how much better you feel when you let go of judgment. So there's a couple of examples about using our intention to rewire our brains and about being non-judgmental.
I love that. And I read the book, and I got to tell you, one of my a pet peeve that I have is for people to throw stuff on the ground. I was driving home from work for this beautiful interview, and someone, just like I was in a test from the universe, pulled up right beside my car, opened their window up, and just threw some trash out. And in that moment, I said this exact thing. I said, it is what it is. And I just drove off. And I didn't get that knot that I get in the pit of my stomach when I usually see something like that that says, oh, you should have pulled over. You should have picked it up and let them, you know. It is what it is. And stayed in that space. And it's a practice. It's a way of being. It's a new way of reprogramming and rewiring to do these intentions, to get into the space of non-judgment. But I would encourage people, pay attention to how your body feels when you get into judgment. For me, I know that I get into judgment about very few things, but I don't know, littering some kind of way in the back of my head was something that stuck with me. And seeing that, I noticed that I get this little knot in my stomach, and I thought, I don't like the way that feels. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I certainly don't like the way that feels. And so I do like this phrase of, it is what it is. And, you know, I'm learning to rewire myself around that and think, well, you know, there is creation of jobs and all these other things that happen because of human nature, and so it is what it is. Definitely not within my control to for what somebody else does with their trash. So I love this principle. I love the gain process because it does take only 3 minutes. People who are concerned about a long, lengthy process, don't be concerned about that. So if you are worthy of 3 minutes and so much more, but discipline yourself just by doing the 3 minutes and the three good things, we can't say enough about that. As you're preparing to go to bed, thinking of three good things, you can do that. You deserve that time. And we only have a few minutes left. Before we go to our close down, I would like to say, can you tell us where we can get the book from? And, you know, just anything else that's going on in your life. I know you're doing a lot of work with physicians in the healthcare environment, but are you doing anything with the non-healthcare community? Just how can we stay in touch with you?
Well, I have a website, which is greghammermd.com, GREGHAMMERMD.com. So I have a lot of links there and media. So I believe this interview will be up there at some point, but there are, you know, a dozen or more others. And the book can be purchased with a link to Amazon that's on the greghammermd.com site. You can go to Amazon directly and just put in the search bar, Gain Without Pain, Greg Hammer, and you'll see it. It's available as an ebook and as a paper book. I'm like you. I heard you speaking with Aurora Winter. I think it was last week. I like to have a book in my hand, but other people like different formats of media. And I'm not, you know, I'm doing a lot of interviews and so on related to the book right now. And so I do have some projects going on with some people with whom I've connected during this process. Consulting with the startup, you know, co-authoring something with somebody that I met through this process. And then the Gain Without Pain, Your Happiness Handbook, which is really just a handbook-sized book, but it goes through the gain principles and the meditation. That'll be out hopefully in the next few months. So I imagine that I'll be, when the pandemic is over in particular, speaking in person to more people outside of medicine.
That's wonderful, because I think the world at large, in fact, I know the world at large, could benefit from a handbook. I'm a big fan of handbook, tiny books that people can just carry around with them, sit down on the train or at a quick lunch break and just open a page and there you are, you get what you need. Before we end, though, I had an interesting conversation with a friend yesterday and we talked about suffering and how suffering is optional. Pain will occur in this journey called life. I love how you talked about embracing the pain. But what in your book, you have this wonderful formula, and I love you if you could share that about suffering. Suffering isn't really necessary, and there's some things that we can do not to suffer. Can you share with us really quickly that formula?
Sure. You know, Drevon, we in medicine and pharmacy and chemistry and so on love formulas, so I couldn't resist putting at least one in the book. And that formula is suffering equals pain times resistance. It's sort of borrowed from fluid or electrical mechanics, but suffering equals pain times resistance. So when we resist painful thoughts, we end up suffering more. We try to submerge those thoughts or avoid thinking about them. And I'm not suggesting that people should think about painful things all the time, but at least once a day, during the gain meditation, you know, when you're on your A for acceptance, bring in that pain, open your heart to it, visualize your heart opening and allowing it in. Don't resist it. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to submerge it, because it will just come back and increase your suffering. So if you, you know, you hurt your knee, you twist your knee, it's swollen, and all you do is focus on it, you're kind of resisting allowing it to be what it is. Wishing you hadn't done that or what have you, and it magnifies the suffering. So just be reminded to be accepting rather than resisting of experiences that may be painful in life.
Yeah, I love that, because what we resist, and this is what I say in my book, Freedom is Your Birthright, whatever you resist, you bring more of that energy to you. When you open up and accept it and turn the lights on it, you realize that that's not a big monster after all. That's a little bitty ant.
That's right.
And so you can deal with that. So I really want people to realize that you don't have to suffer pain, myself included. Who wants to experience pain? But when we really open our heart and just love on it, like we do on children who are crying or whatever, we just love on it. And we realize it starts to settle down. It starts to be okay. And that's what we really want. At the end of the day, each and every one of us wants to know this one thing. You are safe. You are safe. You are safe. The world, the universe has made a place for you. You belong here. Even if pain shows up, it's not an invitation for you to check out and move away. It's an invitation for you to practice lovingness in this moment right now. So I want you to take that with you as you go throughout your day. Know that this is Everyday Peace with Dr. Drevon James, where we focus on using everything that shows up in our life, the good. Yes, there will be some things that we call bad, but I love the idea of not categorizing, but there'll be some unwanted things that show up in our life. We'll use those things too, and those things that are in the middle, to consciously create our next level of greatness, learning how to breathe through the experience, practicing your gain principles, gratitude, acceptance, intention, no judgment. It is what it is. I love that phrase. My 17-year-old uses it 1,000 times a day. This is Everyday Peace with Dr. Drevon James. Thank you for being an Everyday Peacemaker. We'll talk same time next week.
Been listening to Everyday Peace with Dr. Drevon James. You have the power right now, today, to make the decisions, to take the actions that lead you to your next level of greatness, and I would love to walk with you on your journey. Here's some ways we can connect. Schedule a coaching session. Contact me at info@drdrevonjames.com. Enroll in my online university course, the 2020 Clarity Course, at the Institute for Leadership and Lifelong Learning International. Enroll in the Brilliant Life 9-week online coaching session with me and Keisha Dixon at info@drdrevonjames.com. Purchase my book, Freedom is Your Birthright, from Amazon. Thank you for being an everyday peacemaker. I absolutely love you.
Thank you for listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you facing some challenges right now and you're not sure where to turn? Let Unity Online Radio host and women's empowerment coach, Cynthia Ocelli, help. Cynthia has helped thousands of women find clarity and get on the path to realizing their greatest vision. Right now, for a limited time, Cynthia is offering some free gifts at CynthiaOcelli.com. Just click on free guidance and get free meditations and guides to help you connect with your power and thrive.